This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Another rainy afternoon in the Umpqua Valley, and Douglas County Commissioner Tom Kress in. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kyle.
So, wanted to talk about something that I think a lot of people probably are more dependent on than they realize at some level, but they probably don't know a lot about, and that's the county communication system, the radio system. But when you think radio, it's not like what we're on right now. And there's an effort to upgrade the current system. Talk about kind of the state of things right now.
Yeah, and really in order to do that, I should take you back a little bit. You know, perhaps up to 30 years ago, the county designed had some options then to go with a statewide system that really didn't fit the, you know, 100 valleys of the Umpqua's needs with our unique geography and everything. And so they went the way of trying to design their own system, and they did a great job for the time. So we have 19 towers that simulcast signals. And what that means is that they can run from the coast to the top of the Cascades and not have to switch channels on their radios, whether that be the fire trucks or the police officers and that kind of thing. And it really worked well for a lot of years. But somewhere around 2018, the county commissioned a study to see, you know, what the state of our radio system was, because it had been quite a few years since it had been implemented. And it kind of had a pretty dire results. You know, what happened with that study is that it showed that most of the equipment needed to be upgraded. The upgraded equipment was no longer available in its current form. You know, and to this day, we're still buying parts off eBay in order to keep this stuff going, because it just doesn't work. And it was going to be about a $20 million price tag to upgrade the system. And it wasn't really conducive. The study showed basically that it wasn't conducive to upgrade this system piece at a time, because for instance, the radios wouldn't work with new software, and the software that we currently are running, which is running on old XP servers, wouldn't work with new radios. So it was kind of got to do it all or nothing sort of thing. So that brings us to today, maybe a couple years ago. And a couple years ago, we started to be actively looking for grants to help fund a replacement, or perhaps even try to shore up pieces of it within, you know, without having to replace the whole thing. And we've been doing that. We've got probably five or six grants out there that we've applied for. A couple we've been successful for. Couple we're hopeful for. You know that, but what we've been able to do so far is just upgrade some of the, the componentry to shore that kind of thing up. So that's kind of the state we're in right now, and that's probably brings you to some more questions.
Well, and when we think about it, I mean, people look at their personal technology, and anything that is 30 years old is outmoded. Think about the phone you had 30 years ago, if you even had one, for your personal use. Think about your home computer, devices at home, and all the things we can do now communications-wise. I even think about building infrastructure, lighting systems, things like that. I'm aware of sometimes where people have had to spend a lot of money to put new lighting systems in, kind of as you've just mentioned, because there aren't parts available for the ones they had. So you may have 90% of it working just fine, but then if something goes out, they don't make it's like having an Edsel. They don't make them anymore, and people don't have parts. So that has got to be a bit complicated. So when we talk about this system, it's police, fire, other folks too, right, that are using this?
Yeah, it's not just Douglas County by any means. There's 55 different agencies that would be volunteer fire departments, city police departments, like Roseburg City Police does that, the Roseburg Fire, Douglas County Fire 2, and all the little volunteer ones throughout the county. Not to mention our public works, Douglas Electric's on our radio system, and our sheriff's department.
So obviously really important there. When you think about all the calls that 911 gets in a year, and if they've got problems communicating, that could be life or death.
It certainly could, yeah. And it's it's a big priority to try to figure out a not only a long-term solution, but one that matches all the needs of the different agencies as well as the Sheriff's Department. And for example, you know, we're currently on an analog system, and all the technology is going digital. In order to do that, we have to have a major upgrade to our radios. And when I say radios, there's a big receiver on the tower and transmitter, and one at the county. And those things have to be all upgraded at once. And you have them on, like I said, on 19 towers. We can't just upgrade one and not do them all. But yeah, the technology is such that you try to scramble channels or anything like that on our old analog system, they don't work. Law enforcement now really needs the ability to scramble some of their channels. And, you know, we're also on old, we're on VHF frequency, which has been a venerable, you know, frequency for a lot of years. But we also have a couple agencies on UHF. And so we've got this hybrid system that, we could really use some more frequencies. And, there's a limited amount of VHF. So we're really looking that we're going to have to add to our UHF side of things. So, yes, the technology's changed, and we're going to have to upgrade to stay with it.
And with digital and the requirements of it, it's probably arch topography makes it kind of a challenge.
It does. We're going to have to certainly add a few more towers in strategic locations. We're doing a study right now to see exactly what that requires. But part of it, part of the technology, when it was built and designed, it was really a point-to-point, car-to-tower type situation. Most agencies now, if you look in law enforcement, want to be able to communicate with the device on their person and in buildings. And our radio system, by its current design, doesn't really do that very well. So we really need to look at that and explore that. And that's where some of these different frequencies and digital will help.
And I know probably almost every day, and of course I don't normally know which agency it is, but you'll hear someone whose device is down or is having issues. And sometimes it's just a simple traffic stop, but sometimes it's something more intense. And when 911 or supervisors can't coordinate and talk with or send messages to somebody out in the field, that's an issue.
It certainly is. We've had, as much as 8,500 hours of downtime in the last 2 years, but really that's deceptive because it's maybe one of our towers, you know, say Cinnamon Butte up by Diamond Lake had a two-hour downtime. Well, that's counted in that numbers. It the way the system works, it'll operate with one tower going down, and then it just kind of feeds off the other towers. But if you're the sheriff's deputy that is working up in Diamond Lake and that Cinnamon Butte tower goes down, you're all alone. There's no cell service up there in a lot of areas. And so it's critical for us to keep the stuff up. And we've got a really good staff at the county, and they've done amazing work with spare parts. And, it reminds me of the old show MacGyver, because they've done a really good job keeping this thing together. I just want to make sure that we always can do that.
And with cellular communications being limited in some places, now it's a lot better than it used to be. I remember we used to have that for cell phones, that dark hole around curtain that most of the carriers are fine with now. But there used to be 10 or 15 minutes on the way to Eugene where you couldn't communicate with anybody in most of the service models. So again, that's an issue. And the downtime is certainly could be a problem as well. Now, what's the bottom line on money? What's it going to take to do this?
So, the actual money side of things looks like it might be coming down. You know, the original estimate was $20 million in 2018 to rehab the whole system. We've gotten a few grants and upgraded a few components already, such as the power banks that they run on, the generators, and we're currently in the middle of doing a microwave upgrade now. So all that would have reduced the amount of actual cost, but In those 5 years, however, though, the price of things have gone up, so that kind of gets offset by that. But some of the technologies we're looking at now they've sort of got them refined. There's other agencies using it, the counties north of us. and we might be able to take advantage of some economies of scale. I still think it's going to be a pretty large number around that $20 million range because of the having to add towers and convert everything over. In fact, you know, we've got upwards of 1,600 radios out there, and these are the actual radios that are either in cars or on people's belts. And those have all probably going to have to, a lot of those are going to have to be upgraded too. And, you know, some of the smaller agencies, that's going to be pretty difficult to do. So we're going to have to make a commitment to help them with that as well.
All right. We're going to talk more when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. Shannon Sebastian has your cue, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. State Representative Christine Goodwin will be with us tomorrow on Inside Douglas County. And it's County Commissioner Tom Kress. We're talking about the county's communication system and all the new technology is so cool in a lot of areas, the things it can do. But as we were talking off here during the break, there are so many things that are so connected. Oftentimes, so even cars. You think about a lot of cars. You get in a wreck with a new car, and they just say, "Okay, go get another bumper instead of fixing it," because it's simpler to go get the new bumper than it is to fix it. Everything has really shifted in the last few years.
Yeah, everything's become very much interrelated. We have equipment in the 911 center that it sends a signal out to the fire station to raise their doors and things like that. It's called paging, and you know, all that has to be taken in consideration. But one of those things starts to fail, and you go to upgrade that. Well, then you find that the new upgrade, the only one available, is not compatible with this old piece over here. So it's been very very daunting to try to figure out a way to do this without doing it all at once. And so, just concentrating on some of those things that have failed, and we've shored up quite a bit in the last couple of years, and we've been successful on a couple of these grants, and thankful for that. And we've got a really big one with the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, and it's a hazardous mitigation grant that the federal government has awarded Douglas County a $17 million grant in order to upgrade our radio system. And this was actually 2 years ago that they awarded this, and it's and I don't understand the process 100%, but then it goes to the state to administer, and they're trying to make it work within their rules, and we're actually working with them right now, and I'm still positive that at some point we might see that grant.
So will that take care of all your needs, or is there going to be more above that?
Well, it's a $17 million grant, but it requires a $4.3 million county match, so we'll still have to come up with that. But, you know, if we end up having a $20 million upgrade to our system, which would completely overhaul the system to, state-of-the-art and, something that is more integrated with the state, I think that we'll figure out a way to come up with a $4.3 million.
Wow. So some big challenges there. Now, where's some of the money come from so far?
We've had what they call congressional directed spending. We had one of those a couple years ago from Senator Hurd's office. That's the one we're actually implementing right now to upgrade the microwave systems. We've had the Oregon Emergency Management on a Homeland Security grant we get some money from. And to be honest with you, our emergency manager Wayne Stinson and our IT director Nancy Laney, they've been writing grants like going out of style for the last 3 years, and a couple of them have paid off. So that's the work we're doing now.
How is our system? You mentioned other counties. I'm curious, especially about the rural counties. Are a lot of other people in the same boat?
No, I'm sure there are some. In fact, Coos County a while back, they were in a similar boat. They actually formed or tried to form a a communications district where they actually go out like a fire district and float money, the levy to the voters would vote on and actually be a bond to fund this kind of stuff. But a lot of the counties are, you know, they don't have the topography we have down here in Southern Oregon, so it doesn't make quite as much challenge. For instance, Lane County is on what they call the state system, which early on, you know, we had the chance to get on that 20 years ago, but we didn't do it because it really didn't work with the topography of Douglas County. It works well in Lane and Lynn and Benton County, but they've changed that that system a little bit now. It's a hybrid system of UHF and VHF, where they have a internal ring right around, like say Douglas County, it'd be like four right around the city of Roseburg that would be on UHF, and then the outlying ones, like I mentioned, Cinnamon Butte or Red Mountain, Red Butte, you know, some of those they would have still have their VHF system that would it would convert the signal back. And so they've kind of changed the technology to where maybe one of those systems would work for us now.
So a lot going on with this. And, you know, you think about how everyone depends on communication and all of these agencies, police, fire, public works, all these other things, for residents, this all sounds a little daunting. But you just think about what happens if it doesn't work.
Yeah, you're exactly right. In a typical year, the Douglas County Communications and the 911 Center processes about 161,000 calls for service, and that those get dispatched over the radio system to some agency. And so it's pretty vital. You know, I mean, there was talk 10 years ago or so that, you know, at some point maybe, radios would be, obsolete and it'll be a cellular technology or satellite or something like that. And I remember, I think it was 2019, we had a company come to town that said they could handle all our radio communication needs with this cellular system. And it was a combination cellular satellite system. And so, we went ahead and let them test that system, and we had a pretty good test on it, and they got to about glide, and it failed. When you're trying to reach the top of the Cascades to the coast, we just have way too many dead spots to use a cellular system.
Plus, we've got all the land over to the coast as well, and you've got to be in as much communication with Reedsport as you do Roseburg.
Yeah, we have Curtin to Glendale, Diamond Lake to Reedsport, and getting over the Coast Range is a bit of a challenge. We have... a lot of people don't know this. We have one tower on Roman Nose Mountain, which is in the very northwest corner of Douglas County, right on the Lane County line. In fact, it's way closer to go from Highway, I think it's 20 up there out of Mapleton and that, to get to it than it is off of 38. And that is so remote that tower runs 24/7 on generators. There's no shore power there at all. So we've got two generators, one to run and one to back up, that are running all the time with big tanks. And that tower can see both Gardner Hill right above Reedsport and communicate to Reedsport, and then it can see also back into Douglas County. Basically, if without that, we can't communicate with Reedsport.
And if you're having to operate it that way, that's a big cost too.
It is. There's the fuel costs and the generator maintenance is pretty intense. We have to replace those generators pretty regularly. Now, all the operations, all the towers that we operate have backup generators, but they're only expected to run, once they lose power, which, happens quite a bit during fires. I mentioned Cinnamon Butte earlier. That tower goes down, power went out for quite a while during the Thielson fire, and we had generator backup. But the cost of running one like Romano's, where it's running 24/7 just on generator, is pretty high.
All right, a lot to think about, and apparently a lot more work remains for this. County Commissioner Tom Kress, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thank you for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.